Glory, hallelujah. You know, we just experienced half an hour of power. Amen. Yes. And, you know, the hour of power is really the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord's Prayer, but it is expanded. I grew up in a denomination where when we were 12, 13 years old, we were supposed to memorize the Lord's Prayer after our 2 years of catechism. And we were supposed to get up in front of the church and recite the Lord's Prayer. And I felt so good about that. I felt so proud because I had memorized the Lord's Prayer. And not only the Lord's Prayer, but the Apostles' Creed also. And the Lord's Prayer is something that Christians around the world recognize and know. But when Jesus taught his disciples, he didn't say, "This is what you pray." He said, "This is how you pray. This is the manner in which you're supposed to pray." You know, Jesus spent regular time in prayer. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus sent the multitudes away, and he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He had a habit of getting up early and going out to be with his Father. And Luke 6, verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Jesus regularly spent time in prayer. And you know, when we do that, when we have a specific time and a specific place to pray, like perhaps you have a favorite chair in your living room or in your bedroom, and you regularly sit in that chair and you pray to God. Or maybe the elders of the church will get together before the church services and they will pray. Every week, people will pray for those services. And when there's a specific time and a specific place, you know, it's like the windows of heaven are open in that place. And when you come to that chair, when you come to that part of the sanctuary every Sunday, God's up there and he's looking and he's seeing, and he says to his angels, "Shh, quiet. They're coming. They're coming to speak to me. Don't interrupt." So all of heaven is listening. Listening to your prayers, because God is anxious to be in your presence. Just like we're anxious to be in his presence. We want to be with him. Yeah. He looks forward to it. You know, there was an evangelist that he would go from church to church, and before every service, he would wander the sanctuary. And he would go up and down the pews. And every once in a while, he would stop and he would ask the pastor, "Who sits there?" "Oh, Sister Gwendolyn sits there. She's a prayer warrior. She prays all the time, right in that very place." And the evangelist would go, "Yes, yes." And then maybe he would go to another church and he's wandering the pews, going up and down. And he would go on the stage and he'd say, "What happens over on that part of the stage?" And the pastor would say, "That's where the elders gather together to pray before the services." So in the spiritual realm, he was able to identify the place where prayer was taking place. And that's what's true when we take that time. There is a footprint of light and power in those places. So when you have your prayer closet, that is a special sacred place. Jesus had a habit of going out and praying with his Father on a regular basis. And so the same should be true for us. And you know, when Jesus would go out to pray, his disciples oftentimes would be with him. In Luke chapter 11, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" So you can just imagine, it's nighttime, there's a campfire, and Jesus takes his tallit, and he takes it up over his head, and he begins to pray. And he's praying. And his disciples are like, "Shh, listen, what's he saying? What's he saying?" Oh, well, don't get too close, right? And then after a period of time, Jesus would take off the tallit, and his disciples said, "Teach us, God. John taught his disciples. Will you teach us how to pray?" And that's when he taught him the Lord's Prayer. So, the version of the Lord's Prayer that I want to give for us today is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You know, when the woman had that issue of blood, the Bible says she touched the hem of his garment. And many people identify that garment as the tallit, the tassels of the tallit. So if Jesus, when he would pray under that tallit, how much power there was in that cloth, that when someone touched it, they were healed. Prayer is so vital. So when we come into the presence of God, the first thing we want to do is cleanse ourselves and ask God to forgive us of our sins, because we are approaching a holy God. So we ask God to forgive us, 1 John 1:9, all of our sins, and we come into his gates with thanksgiving. We might have had a day that wasn't going so well, but when we cleanse ourselves, when the blood of Jesus cleanses us, and we begin to thank God and bring to our remembrance all that God has done for us, all of that just washes away. Thanksgiving. "We enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." Psalm 100, verse 4. And Philippians 4:6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." So we thank God for all that he has done. And then we come into his courts with praise. We praise him for who he is. We thank him for what he has done, and we praise him for who he is. So we're coming into the presence of God. We're coming from the gates into the courts. And you know, in the Old Covenant, when the high priest or the priest would be ministering before the Lord, they would wash their bodies, they would wash their garments, and then right before they would go into the Holy of Holies, they would wash their hands, and washed their feet in the little basin that was right there, just before they would go into the Holy of Holies. So the same is true of what we've been doing here this morning. We came in and we sang, we had thanksgiving and praise to our God. And then we came into the more holy place. And sometimes during the services, the devil will put some thoughts into your mind. And you just thank God that the blood of Jesus is on the mercy seat. And the Father says, you are forgiven. And so that little, right before we enter into the deepest worship, we're just cleansed that one last time. And then we're in the presence of God, a holy, holy God. So all of what we've been doing so far is preparing us to come into the presence of God. We're coming to the throne of grace. Now, I want you to know that I am not going to teach you about the Lord's Prayer. This is not a teaching on the Lord's Prayer. This is the hour of power. The hour of power is when you take a phrase from the Lord's Prayer and then you expound upon it. You meditate on it. You begin to elaborate it in prayer to God. So as we're going through this teaching today, there'll be times where I will be stopping and teaching something, giving an illustration of something, but I will also be praying the scriptures, because that's what this is about, the hour of power, praying the scriptures, praying the Lord's Prayer. So don't be confused. It takes about an hour to pray this prayer. So let's go to letter B, number one. Our Father who art in heaven. So we take some time and we meditate on that. Our Father. So Father, you've asked us to come to be with you. And we do that. And you are our Father. You are not a distant God. You are not way out there. And we are so formalized that we have to call you Father. But God, you told us that we can call you Abba, Daddy. That you are intimate, close to us. That you are loving and kind and gentle. That you are our Father that loves us so dearly. And you gave us power to become the children of God because we have received your Son, Jesus. Father, we love you. You are so dear to us. You are not God only, but you are Father God. And yes, you're in heaven, but eternal life has already begun. And we are seated at the right hand of our Father in heaven. We are close to you, and you are close to us. And we love you. We recognize, Father, that you are the potter, and we are the clay. God, have your way in us. Take us, God. We are clay in your hands. Mold us and shape us, God, into more and more of the image and the likeness of our Creator. We want to be vessels of honor. And every time, Lord, we are in your word, we are washed with the water of the word. And you are the potter, and that water then allows you to shape us and mold us and keep us pliable in your hands, so that whatever you want us to look like, God, we yield to you. We yield to your touch. God, make us what you want us to be. Help us to not become brittle and hard through our own will when we rebel. But God, use us. Take us in your hands. Start over if you need to, God. But build us into a vessel that brings glory to your name. a vessel that holds the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of God, and we are your house. Lord, you are the master builder. You are the potter, and we are the clay. You are the El Shaddai, and you are more than sufficient. We thank you, Lord, that it doesn't matter what's coming up, what needs we might have, you've already provided for every need that could come our way. You've provided for us. You are sufficient, Lord God, for everything. We do not lack as your children. And we affirm, Lord, that you are good and your mercy endures forever. Yes, Lord, we make mistakes, but we thank you that your mercy covers that. Your grace covers that. That you are glorified even in our weaknesses, Lord. Your strength is made manifest. Lord, you take anything, any fault, and you find a way to turn it to our good. You are so kind and loving and generous, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Jesus said that God is our Father, that we are in the Father. Jesus is in the Father. We are in the Jesus, and God and Jesus and the Father are in us, that we are filled with the fullness of God. We are one with you, Father. You manifest yourself to us, God. You love us. We keep your words. And you love us, and you make your home with us. And even when Mary Magdalene was at the tomb, you said to her to go tell my brethren. That I ascend to my Father, to my God and your God. Lord Jesus is our brother. God, you are our Father, and we are one with you as we keep your word in obedience. Thank you, Father. Number two. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed is sanctified, set apart, sacred. Sacred is the name of God. Now, God has so many names. He has so many names because he has revealed himself to us through the ages. God does not want to be hidden. God wants to be revealed, not just in his names, but in us, that we can reveal who he is to a dying world. Hallowed, sacred, set apart, holy is the name of God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. So Father, you are Jehovah Jireh, and you provide for our every need. When Jesus was on the mountainside and the multitudes came and they were hungry, Jesus prayed to the Father and he blessed the loaves and the fishes and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples passed them out and everybody was filled. 5,000 plus women and children. Nobody was hungry. Jehovah Jireh. God, you are my provider. Thank you, God, for my job. You provided for my job. You provided for me with a home. You've given me friends. You've given me a church that I can be planted in. You've given me a car, and I love my car. You've given me a scooter, and I enjoy that. Thank you, God, for providing for me, that you provide all the things that could ever come my way, any need. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. The Lord is my healer. Father, you sent your word, and you healed them. You sent Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, and he healed them all. Not one was feeble among them when they left Egypt. You are the Lord who heals, and you've healed me. You've taken this body, and you have given me new parts. You've given me a clean slate. Thank you, Lord, that this little bump here is now flat and shriveled up. That you've given me your power, your spirit, to dwell inside me. And that that glory can come and change my body. Thank you, Jesus. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is my healer. For you bore our sins in your own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. Lord Jesus, you are awesome. Father, you have given us a banner of victory. The banner of victory over us, that there is no weapon formed against us that shall prosper, and that we have love. You put your, declared your love over us, that we are the head and not the tail, and nothing can harm us. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus, you are our peace. You've made a way where there was no way, and you brought us into reconciliation with the Father. Thank you for your peace, God, that I can sleep at night and not have terror or fear. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord is our righteousness. For Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God. We are right with God. I've been brought into justification. That I'm at peace with God. I am singular in my focus. I thank you, Lord, that you have made the works that I'm doing pleasing to you. That you're changing me from the inside out. Not only am I righteous in your sight, Lord God, but I am becoming righteous in my words and in my actions and in my attitudes and in my deeds. And the world can see God, the righteousness of God. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. And because you are our good shepherd, Lord Jesus, you lay your life down for us, and we know you, we know your voice, because we spend time with you. And you are in the presence of your sheep, and here you are right now, in the midst of us. And we know your voice, and the voice of a stranger we will not follow. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there with me. For where two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of us. You are not over there, you are right here. Jehovah Shammah, here in the presence of your people. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord is my sanctifier. You sanctified us, God. You cleanse us, you've set us apart, that your Holy Spirit falls fresh upon us. Thank you, Lord. Help us to not sin today. Jehovah Baal Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough. The Lord of the breakthrough, no matter what challenges you may face, no matter what things the devil might try to stick up into you, into your face, the Lord of the breakthrough will pound it down, because the Word of God is a hammer, and it's hammering, and it's pounding, and it's coming against anything that could come against you. If there's financial troubles, if there's any other kinds of troubles, relationship problems, any kind of thing that could come against us, we may not know what's going on behind the scenes, but we trust the God of the breakthrough, because at any moment, those strongholds come crashing down. The Lord of hosts, Jehovah Saba, when David said to the Philistines, to Goliath, "You come at me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." So, Goliath, you have nothing on the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies of heaven, the commander in chief. Anything that we need, we can send that signal to our commander in chief, and he will send angels to fight and to war on our behalf. And when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "Don't you think I could like send 12,000 angels, a legions of angels, and they would just wipe out everything here?" But no, Jesus was meek. He had power. He had tremendous power, but it was under control. And he submitted to the will of the Father. Number three, your kingdom come. Whatever you bind or loosed on earth is bound and loosed in heaven. We can cast out demons, wash out evil spirits from ourselves and from our home. We establish a hedge of protection around ourselves, our family, and our home. We declare God's kingdom in our home, and we loose the anointing of God to flood our home. What does that sound like to you? We're looking at Healing School Semester 2. We're establishing the kingdom of God. So when we establish the kingdom of God, that's when we're saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done here as it is in heaven." So in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, and we forgive everybody their sins right now here in this sanctuary and in every home at the internet location. We forgive everyone their sins. We bind every evil spirit and demon within each person, and we wash them down with rivers of living water. And in Jesus' name, we bind every evil spirit and demon that is within the home, in the sanctuary, on the property, and we cast them into the fires of hell. In the name of Jesus, we establish a hedge of protection of angels around this sanctuary, around this home, around this property, and around your properties. And we flood the anointing of God for health and peace and deliverance into these locations. Holy Spirit, please fall fresh upon us. Fall fresh in this place. Fall fresh. Your kingdom come, Father, your will be done in these locations as it is in heaven. So we establish the kingdom of God as we're doing the hour of power. I would like you to open up your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 17. So we're praying for ourselves, our family, our loved ones. This is a prayer of understanding, opening the eyes of our understanding to God's glory and power. So in the name of Jesus, beginning at verse 17, we pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us who believe, according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead, and set him at your own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And you have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. What a powerful prayer. Wisdom and understanding. So when God's will is being done, we would want to know, what is that will? What is it? So number four, thy will be done. Pray for leaders and those in authority. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to know the truth. So we pray for widows, orphans, and children. We pray for our own household that we will all serve the Lord. And we call on the Lord that all of us, that I and my household are saved. So we're praying for our families. We're praying for our sphere of influence. We claim these for our life and for our home. We pray that God's will be done in our life and home. And we pray not only for that, but for our church, our ABC church. We need to pray for our pastors. We need to pray for each other. We need to pray because that's how we're protected. That's how change comes about. So in order to know what God's will, please turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, beginning at verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Praise the Lord. So we're praying to know what God's will is. Number five, give us this day our daily bread. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we affirm that we have been made rich by the poverty of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:9. That for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. And we proclaim the blessings of a tither. Malachi 3:10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. So we're asking God to meet our needs, our daily needs. And you know, it's the Lord of hosts that is going to make sure that that happens because we're tithers. So if your washing machine's having a problem, call on the Lord of hosts. I'm a tither. In Jesus' name, work well. and then start using it. Or whatever it is, your car. One time I went and they said, your tire keeps going flat because your chrome wheel is disintegrating and the air is leaking out. And I said, I don't think I want to get new rims. I like my wheels. I like them. So I did the three witness anointing on them and took it back. They pumped it up. I drove and it didn't go down. And then I needed my tires rotated. So I went back and they took the tires off and they see and they tell me, oh, you, this is what's going on. And I said, well, in the name of Jesus, my wheels are fine. And the guy looked at me and he said, okay. So they slapped it back on there and did all their thing and never went back down. It's still working fine because I called on the Lord of hosts. I'm a tither. I'm not paying for new wheels. I like my wheels. They didn't have anything comparable, so I said no. There was also a woman who was associated with ABC, and she had a family, lots of children, and she really believed the Lord. She believed the Word of God. And she was a little short on money for a while, and the electrical system was shut off because she hadn't paid her bill. Well, she was saying, you know, I'm believing God for money, and it's coming. In the meantime, I have children I have to feed, and I don't have an oven that's working. But I'm a tither. I'm learning about tithing. I'm getting up from the ground, and I'm beginning to move up. And so by faith, I'm believing God to supply my daily bread for me and for my children. So she had a roast. And she said, okay, my children have to eat. So she put it in the pan. She went to the oven. She opened up the cold oven. And she popped in this pan of a roast. She closed the door. She turned on the timer. And she walked away. She did some other things. Tick, 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 tick. Walks by. Still cold. Doesn't matter. My God supplies all my need. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. Thank you for doing that. And so she just went on her way. It was coming time for dinner. She calls her children. They all sit down. She goes to the oven. She puts her mitts on. She opens up the door. She pulls it out. And it's all nice and cooked. All nice and toasty. She puts it on the table. The kids are like, oh, this is great, Mom. This is wonderful. This tastes so good. And she said, yep, that's right. The Lord provided. The Lord is the one who made it for you. So everything was nice and normal. Just like, and you know, that didn't happen just once. That happened a few times. But because she was a tither, God was giving her what she needed. And she came up and out of that, and she was able then to pay her bills. Affirm that because you give, it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. And you command angels to go out and bring money in. In Jesus' name, money comes to me now. And those angels finally have something to do. You're finally giving them a command, and they're like, yes, and they're gathering up all this stuff. Now, with our words, we don't want to cancel that. We don't want to start saying, oh, it's not working. Oh, I'm poor. Oh, I have no money today. I'm sorry, I can't give. No, we continue in faith because those angels are bringing money to us. Number 6. Forgive as we forgive others. Forgive everyone who has offended you. Forgive from the heart. If we don't forgive, the Bible says it blocks our prayers. And I remember I was in my car and I was doing my affirmations on my tongue. Lord, thank you in Jesus' name that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart is pleasing to you. And I was doing my affirmations, doing them over and over and over. And then suddenly a thought came to my mind about an incident that had happened several years before. And inside, my heart just went, just clenched. You know how that is? You think of something and it's like, ugh, like that. And I thought, well, that's not really very pleasing to God, I don't think, right? Because I want the meditation of my heart to be pleasing. And so I said, okay, God, let's deal with this one. Now, I had asked God many times before, God, what would Jesus have done in this situation? It happened at a gas station, and somebody was being kind of rude and obnoxious and not very kind. And I'm not going to tell you what it was or anything like that, because you need to think of something for you. What is something that you need to forgive? But my heart was like this. And I just had hate in my, it's like, ah. So I said, okay, God, an act of my will, I'm softening my heart. I want you to take this from me. And I want my meditation to be pleasing to you. So I kind of like, inside, I was yielding to the Holy Spirit. And it opened up just a little bit. And I got a glimpse of what would Jesus have done in that situation. And I said, wow, of course. How obvious. Oh, thank you, God. Because as soon as I could see how would Jesus have handled it, all of that anger and hate went away. And my heart went like that. It was like, okay, take it. Ah, thank you. So it's important that we forgive other people, because really we are the only ones that are being hurt. We are the only ones. That person at that gas station doesn't even remember me. But that was going on inside of my heart. And as we forgive other people, now the grace of God can come in and my prayers can be heard. Because I didn't want to continue with my affirmation, because I'd have been thinking about that and speaking and it would have come from my mind and not from my heart. He wouldn't have heard my prayers. So we ask God to forgive us of our sins, past, present, and future. And we pray for those who have offended us. Now we ask God to forgive us once for an incident, and then we continue to thank him that he's changing us day by day. So if you're struggling with forgiving somebody, we have a song. Do you remember the song? Let's all sing it if you know it, okay? You picture the person in your mind, and you sing this song to them, and it's a way for your heart to become softened so that the Holy Spirit can work in you. So let's sing it if you know it. Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King, and I love you with the love of the Lord. Number 7, lead us not into temptation. You know, the deceit is what the devil uses to draw us away into temptation. In Mark 14, verse 38, it says, watch you and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So we pray. As we pray, we are guided away from temptation. God's angels will lead you away from temptation because you pray. We pray that we'll be accounted worthy to escape challenges. Luke 21, verse 36. And we declare that the word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. So remember, we're praying these phrases, and lead us not into temptation. So we would say something like, Father, I thank you that you are leading me away from temptation, because I pray that I would not be in a situation that's out of your will. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that as I pray, that the Holy Spirit guides me to the left or to the right, so that if on my own I would have gone to the right, I yield to the Holy Spirit and I go to the left, and I am being led away from temptation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, that the entrance of your word brings light. And where there's light, darkness cannot be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that temptation is becoming less and less and less because I'm yielding myself to you. And the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are losing their grip on me because my eye is singular on Jesus Christ. I have my eyes fixed on him. And as I do, I follow him wherever he goes so that I can continue that gaze upon him. So lead us not to temptation. Number 8, deliver us from evil. Affirm you have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. The devil has no hold on your body. You are the temple of God and you belong to God. Declare that flood and fire will not harm you or yours. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and neither shall the flame kindle upon you. There was, in the news long time ago, the most horrific plane crash in history happened in the Canary Islands. There was a plane that was taking off, and there was a plane that was landing, and they couldn't see each other, and they crashed on the ground. It was the most, in all of history, that is the worst airline crash ever. And as far as I know, there were like very, very, very few survivors, and those that did had very serious injuries. But there was a Christian on that plane, and this man believed God's word, and as he was in the plane, he saw a fireball coming down the aisle, coming straight for him, and he knew this scripture, and he said, I will not walk upon the fire, and I shall not be burned in Jesus' name, and that fire is coming right at him, and as soon as he said that, all of a sudden, he's outside the plane. He's on the wing. He was inside the plane, fire coming at him, and now he's on the wing. God took him out. God delivered him from evil. So that's definitely doable and possible for us. So we declare that no harm shall befall us. 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. No evil shall befall me, and neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Absolutely nothing. So no evil of the kingdoms of man, of darkness, of animals, or nature shall harm me. In Jesus' name. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Okay. And you read Psalm 91. You pray Psalm 91 in the name of Jesus. So the Lord's Prayer is very, very powerful because it's teaching us the manner in which we pray. We meditate on each phrase and use the scriptures to pray it out, to elaborate on it, to make it expanded. And remember, this is an hour of power. If you just do the basics, it will take you an hour. But if you really focus and meditate and use scriptures to pray it out, it could take you a lot longer. So when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he didn't intend for us to recite it. He intended for us to use it and to pray it for ourselves. So we're very grateful that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and he's taught us to pray. Amen.